Hello, everybody. I hope you're all well. Welcome back to Voice Notes with Jo and Teresa. We're in a little bit of a rogue place today. We're still in my living room, but we're in front of my window by the sofa. Have a few technical difficulties with the setup this week, aka I am extremely hot. So it's like 28 degrees in the UK at the moment, which I know I'm gonna get back over here in Texas. It's like 40 degrees. Guys, I don't care. I'm only thinking about myself here. But, and I don't want to say it because it does this kind of like genre of tweet, TikTok, social media post does the rounds every single year of like the fact that British heat is harder to handle because all of our buildings are, oh my God, there's a magpie. All of our buildings are basically built to keep in the heat. And basically I have sort of really noticed it, especially, I mean, first of all, I don't really feel like the heat in my flat is that bad right now because the flat that I lived in before, guys, I can only describe it as, I've spoken about it on the podcast before, for sure, it was the hottest place on earth. Like, it was hotter than the sun. Like, I'm not even joking. So basically with my old flat, it wasn't even that far from where I live now. It's literally like a 5-minute drive from here, like 10-minute walk. And it was in like this converted school building. And the flat was lovely. It was very small. It was a studio slash like mezzanine. And during winter, it was great. There wasn't even any central heating, but during the winter, it was great. But then during the summer, I used to go into the flat, and as soon as I stepped in, I would start crying. It was a south-facing flat with just one window in it. It was a pretty big window, but there was no circulation. Obviously, heat rises, so the top floor mezzanine. Also, that was where the boiler was. Guys, you can just imagine how hot this was. You can just imagine how hot this was. So, basically, like, I'm getting very hot and flustered right now. But whenever I feel myself getting hot in this flat, I'm like, well, at least I'm not in the other flat, because the other flat, I can guarantee, it's got to be like 10 times hotter than this. Like, the flat was 10 degrees hotter than the outside, I'm pretty sure. Like, I'm not even joking. So yeah, basically, this country just doesn't have the infrastructure to handle heat. And what I find so irritating about this is that it's not like there's like sort of 3 weeks of the year where it gets really hot, and then the rest of the year the infrastructure is like suited to the climate. Guys, climate change, global warming, like, it is as soon as it hits June, the tube is too hot, the bus is too hot, the buildings are too hot, like, everything is too fucking hot apart from like the outside. But then when it gets to like 30, 32, last year it got to fucking 40 degrees on one day, you can't even go outside. But yeah, no, I'm not going to complain about the weather too much because I feel like that's so British core of me. And I am absolutely loving the weather, but basically I was just getting a little bit hot and flustered today. And yeah, no, so I thought, because I'm doing, basically there is nothing going on in this little head of mine this week. Like, ever since doing the Friendship in Your 20s one, I've been like, there's nothing for me to talk about. Like, there's nothing for me to talk about. So I thought I would do like a little Q&A this episode. And I asked you guys over on my Instagram, so make sure you go follow my Instagram at Jordan A. Teresa for some questions. Nothing's off the table. We're going TMI. And I thought it would be fun whenever I do these Q&A ones to sort of do it like sat in a different place, sort of very chilled out, because first of all, you guys get to see more of my flat, and I'm sure you're interested in that, because, sorry, I've got something showing on my laptop, let me close it 1 second. And I'm sure you guys are interested in that, because I'm always interested in what other people's houses and flats look like, and I feel like this is quite intimate. So maybe like every, you know, a few months or so, we do like a TMI intimate Q&A where I'm just like chilling and I'm having a good time, because I guarantee you, if I put my blistering light on and I set up my whole little bit, put my tripod on properly, I would be miserable. Especially because, so let me tell you guys what I got up to this weekend. So my friends threw a rave night Alienation. Woo! It was really, really good. But it was a bit of a heavy one. It definitely wasn't like the heaviest, but it was pretty heavy. I got in at like 7 a.m. and which, as we all know, is not the latest I've stayed up, but it's pretty early. I got in at 7 a.m. and I couldn't really sleep. And then I experienced a really like severe alcohol hangover. So like I fell asleep at 7 a.m. and then I woke up at like 8:30. I couldn't really sleep. And then I was watching Girls on HBO, obviously. And I was like, oh my God, guys, this wave of hunger hit me like nothing before. And then I remembered before I went out, I didn't eat anything. Like I didn't have time. And that's always a big mistake because when I got to the event, I was like, oh my God, I'm hungies. So then I had to drink something to make up for my hunginess. Sorry if you guys don't like it when people say hungies. It's just whenever whenever I'm telling people I'm hungry, I physically cannot tell people that I'm hungry. I have to say I'm hungies. You know, when Charlie Puth said that? Yeah, you know if you know. So I just started drinking a lot to like sort of quench my hunger, which I don't recommend, by the way. And then the next morning I had a really severe alcohol hangover and I was ravenous. Like absolutely ravenous. So then I managed to get myself up. And bear in mind, guys, I'm hungover. I have a headache. I'm exhausted. I'm shaking. I am physically shaking. I put 4 slices of toast in the toaster, butter those bad boys up, stick some Marmite on it. Oh yeah. That is the best hangover food. I've totally been in my toast era recently. I've been loving, like, you know when it's like you're wandering around the house and you're like, I do not know what I want to eat. Like, it's that kind of weather where you don't know what to eat. Because, like, I am very much like a carbs girly. I love sort of very heavy, carby food. And in this weather, it's just not ideal. It's just not ideal. So I was sort of walking around, like this is like before the hangover, and I'm like, oh, there's nothing that I want to eat. And then I was looking on Deliveroo and there's nothing that I even want to order on Deliveroo. So I was like, what am I just supposed to starve? So then I realized, aha, aha, ha, ha, toast. Because I know, I cannot believe I'm about to say this on the internet, I buy Lurpak butter, even though it's absolutely extortionate, but it is literally the most delicious butter in the world. So I'm hungover. So I've been in my toast era recently. I'm hungover. I butter the toast, stick some Marmite on it, and I think the salt and the yeast in Marmite helps with hangovers. I managed to wolf down 3 slices. Like, I'm not even joking, in the space of 2 minutes. Like, I did each slice, I think, in about 3 or 4 bites. And then I just crashed and I fell asleep. And then I woke up and I felt significantly better. I definitely wasn't feeling great. You know what I did have, which I haven't gotten in ages? I got the fear. If you guys don't drink, basically the fear, also known as hangxiety, is when you've been drinking and then the next day you wake up with anxiety. It's just like a normal side effect of drinking alcohol. And I used to get it so badly a few years ago. And then I think it's like the combination of like not mixing my alcohols too much and then also being in therapy for my OCD that has sort of helped me. It hasn't like cured my anxiety, but I definitely don't suffer with it nearly as badly as I do, because I sort of have the mindset, and this is for anyone else that gets the fear really badly or anxiety, you know that in 3 days you aren't going to be thinking about it. Do you know what I mean? Maybe in a week you will not be thinking about it. You know, you only think about it on the day. So I was like, I had the fear, and because I just got a bit too fucked like at the end, like I and yeah no so basically I got a bit of the fear, like that's sort of the type of hangover I was having. And then on Sunday I saw my dad for Father's Day. I felt a bit funny, and then today I'm not like hungover, but I'm very tired and I'm very demotivated. And by some miracle, I can't even say this, I managed to tidy my whole flat. So I hosted pre's on Friday. And then, you know, when you spend all day in bed hungover on Saturday, somehow the bedroom just turns into complete disarray. Like, it was messy. The flat was messy. I know it doesn't look great right now, but like, it was so messy. And I'm so proud of myself that I managed to clear it all up. And then I also went and picked up a dress that I got repaired. So I went to Kentish Town to pick it up. Then I came back, tidied my bedroom, planned this podcast episode a little bit. And now we are here just chilling and I'm having fun. I like this little spot that I've got going. Next episode will be in the normal spot because obviously it looks nicer, but like sometimes I do just want to chill. Do you know what I mean? So that's what I've been up to recently. And then should we do TV show I'm watching, book I'm reading, song I'm listening to, and a recommendation of the week? Why not? So, TV show I've been watching. I did finish Scrubs. Great. Lem tried to force me to watch the Scrubs reboot they made. Guys, I was cracking up because I had a feeling that because the last season of Scrubs, I had.
Hey.
Huh?
Hey, you shut up. What did you just say?
Huh? I'm talking about the terrible...
You shut your mouth. Don't you dare say anything bad about Scrubs on this podcast.
Guys, the reboot is not good. If they had left it 10 years to do the reboot, then I would...
Jordan didn't watch a single episode of the reboot. She watched 15 minutes of the first episode and then put her headphones in and was doing other stuff while I watched the rest. And then she came back out of, pulled her headphones off and was like, this sucks, after having not watched any of it.
I watched 15 minutes of the first episode. Yeah. The protagonist is so annoying. It got cancelled for a reason. Anyways, and basically, what was I saying? Oh yeah, and then we tried to watch the reboot and I didn't enjoy the reboot. And it's funny, the Scrubs reboot makes me laugh because I assumed that because there was a reboot, that the reboot would be like 10 years after. Tell me why they did a reboot a year after the show ended. Like, let people miss it first and then do the reboot. I'd be open for a Scrubs reboot now. But anyways, obviously I'm rewatching Succession for my video. I've been watching The Middle as well. Len's making me watch One Piece as well, which is all right. And also, oh yeah, we're talking about Love Island. Love Island is Love Islanding this year. It's so good. It's so good. Like, it's just hitting. The cast is really good. They all have very good chemistry with each other. I'm not talking romantic, I'm talking friendship-wise as well. Because I feel like last year, even though I thought last year was a really good season, I thought that the girls did not like each other that much. Like, I feel like there were definitely some like girl friendships where you could like, for example, India and Tasha. I love them as individuals and I love them as like a little friendship, but like it was crazy how like Ekin-Su really likes Gemma, but all Gemma would do was slag off Ekin-Su. And there just wasn't that sort of camaraderie that is normally with female friendships. And what really didn't help was that the boys just, it just turned into this misogynistic boys club, which I really did not like. And they did not have, and none of the women in there were checking them. But anyways, I'm really enjoying it. My opinions are, so... I love Whitney. I think she's my favourite islander. I think I like all of them, apart from I don't like Zach, like, at all. And I don't understand. I think people are doing way too much when it comes to the hate with Molly. Like, I just feel like it's like, I'm going to say it. I feel like women get held to this impossibly high standard in Love Island. And I think just because people find someone a bit annoying, I don't even find Molly annoying, but I think when, like, people have this tendency when they find a woman annoying that they will just like dig them out for every single little thing they do. And I like her. I think she's all right. Like, she's definitely not my favorite islander, but I do like her. Like, I think she's like okay. One thing is that I think, unfortunately, she must have some kind of nervous laughter or like nervous smile, because Zach, after he fucking mugged Catherine off in that challenge, and then Molly was like, wow, you're really brave for doing that, and was like smiling the whole time, I'm thinking, girl, if he has treated Catherine like that, how do you think he's going to treat you? And I feel like Molly would be where, like, I'd be rooting for Molly more if Molly was coupled up with someone else. I do not like her and Zach together. I don't think they have like very good chemistry. I was telling my Love Island group chat today, they just aren't like, they aren't giving. Like, I just don't like them together. Like, I feel like even though Mitchell is like hands down the craziest contestant they've ever had, I think he makes Luca look normal. I think that Mitchell and Molly were actually better suited. And I think if Mitchell wasn't such a weirdo, then I think that him and I would have much preferred him and Molly together. I'm hoping that Molly finds someone else, to be honest, because I don't like Zach. I do not like Zach, like, at all. So I think Zach's my least favourite, and I don't like Sammy either. I like Tyreek, I like Ella, I like Whitney, I like Catherine, I like Molly. Jess is all right. I think everyone on Twitter just loves Jess because Jess doesn't like Molly and Twitter doesn't like Molly. But, like, I just think Jess is a bit harsh on Molly. I think Jess is being a little bit harsh. And I think Jess needs to, and Whitney and Catherine were right in telling her that she needs to, like, chill out a little bit on, like, the Molly hate train because, like, she's doing too much. Bianna, those are my Love Island opinions so far. I am putting money on it that Ella and Tyreek are going to win. I feel it in my bones. And to be fair, I should probably put a bet on, actually. Nope, Mitchell's got to go home. He's crazy. He is actually insane. But anyways, book I'm reading. I'm reading Invisible Women. And I'm also reading You Made a Fool of Death with Your Beauty. Is it called With Your Beauty? Or With Your Love. It's this book that Jack recommended to me. It's the first of a fiction book I've read in years, and I'm enjoying it so far. It's pretty good. And then the song I'm listening to that new Peggy Goo song. What is it called? Obviously, it's a TikTok song. Obviously, because that's all I listen to these days. It goes like na na na. Love that song. And then my recommendation of the week. Let's do a cheeky recommendation of the week. First of all, this lip combination I've got on. It's Charlotte Tilbury Gossip Lip Liner and the Maybelline Lifter Gloss in Topaz. The Charlotte Tilbury, did I say it's called Gossip? Sorry if I'm repeating myself, my brain. Sorry. And my other recommendation of the week. Okay, this feels a bit random, but guys, ice is actually really underrated. I love ice. Like, ice is really good. Like, I got a bag of ice for my pre's, and then I put it in the freezer, and then I got it out, and I had it with a Fanta yesterday, and I was like, okay, this is why people put an ice in their drinks. Like, it's pretty good. I have personal beef with my fridge. So basically, I'm trying to get a bit more. I've been loving all sort of like cooking TikToks at the moment. And I like cooking. I enjoy cooking. And I'm especially trying to get, I cook a lot anyway, but I'm trying to get even more into cooking because I want to post some TikToks about it. I want to post some reels about it. Influencer era. And I also want to order less food because I don't even like takeaways that much. The only takeaway I've really been liking at the moment is Zia Lucia sourdough pizza, the margarita and buffalo mozzarella one. Sorry, I feel like I'm talking a million miles per hour. So basically, I did like a massive online shop today of my food shop, and it's arrived. And today I made it's European summer. I made a bruschetta. So I should have put a bit of red onion in there, but I couldn't be able to chop up the onion. So I did tomatoes. And then salt, pepper, olive oil, mixed it all up in a bowl. And then I put it on some toast, put a little bit more olive oil in there, split up some mozzarella, put it on there, did more salt and pepper. Did I already say that? I put a dash of olive oil on top, and then I did some balsamic glaze. So good. I'm going through my liking tomato phase right now. Does anyone else like... I go through phases of liking tomatoes. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's like when you're eating an egg and you're all of a sudden become aware that you're eating an egg, or like chicken, and you're like, that's sort of how I used to get like that with the Wagamama's gyozas as well, the vegetable gyozas. But now I get it with tomatoes. So I can only eat tomatoes in small doses. And then if I have too much tomato, I can't eat tomatoes for like 2 months. It's really weird. But you know, I think I'm definitely going to make some TikToks about like what food I'm making and stuff. I finally figured out how to use TikTok editing stuff. Genius. So I think that's what I'm going to do, because I actually love watching people just go about their day-to-day lives on TikTok. Like, I think it's so fun. So I guess I'm just gonna start posting on TikTok more, guys. Follow my TikTok at Jordan A. Teresa. So before we get into the questions, the juicy questions, I would love to thank our first sponsor of today's episode, Athletic Greens AG1. I've spoken about them before. I really, really like them. So basically what it is it's like a green powder. It's in a tub. It's a green powder. You get a little scoop, you add it to water, you mix it up, drink it, boom, vitamins sorted. Vitamins sorted, guys. It is actually that simple. So I don't know about you guys, but obviously I've shared my ADHD struggles with you, and the fact that I procrastinate with absolutely everything in my life. And one thing I procrastinate, or used to procrastinate a lot with, was taking vitamins. I just found it so long, but like it's just like it would, you know, it's like I had to have 10, you know, because I'm deficient in, like, I'm not officially deficient in anything, but I probably am deficient in a lot of stuff. So my mum gave me like all these vitamin recommendations, and like I ordered them at Amazon, and then I just was not taking them because I could not be bothered. And I especially don't like, you know, when they get like, first of all, the taste, like, especially I used to take these ones, like these vegan ones when I used to be vegan, and they literally just tasted like dirt. They literally just tasted like dirt, and then you have that dirt taste in your mouth until you would eat something. Like, who likes that? And then the feeling of them being stuck in your throat. I don't know about you guys, but I used to take antidepressants, and the feeling of when you get sertraline stuck in your throat, it was like that, not enjoyable. But with AG1, it's a drink, so there's no choking, and it's very, very simple. You just down it all in one. So that's why I wanted to give AG1 a try. But I also wanted to get all my vitamins in anyway, because I wanted to help my energy levels, nourish my body, and strengthen my immune system. So I don't drink AG1 in the morning. I actually drink it every lunchtime with my lunch. I drink it at lunch because I feel like I tend to sort of get a bit tired around lunchtime. I have a lot of energy in the morning. So when I feel myself teetering off, I eat my lunch and then I down my AG1 drink. So my body is getting all the nutrients it needs and deserves. It saves me so much time faffing around with vitamins, and I literally have no excuse to procrastinate from it. With AG1, it's just one scoop in a glass of water once a day. AG1 is the healthiest thing you can do in under a minute. Every scoop of the AG1 all-in-one formula is packed with 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food source ingredients of the highest quality, which provide a range of benefits such as gut and mood support, energy, and even healthier looking skin, hair, and nails. If you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/voicenotes. That's athleticgreens.com/voicenotes. Check it out. Thank you so much, Athletic Greens, for sponsoring that portion of the episode. And welcome to the Voice Notes podcast, where I, Jordan Teresa, chat all things my life, pop culture, internet trends, reality TV, and so much more. And today we are going to be doing a very TMI juicy Q&A. Let's get into it. So I definitely wanted to start out this Q&A with like the most outrageous question. Not, is it outrageous? One of you guys asked me how I shave my ass, and like a lot of you guys were asking me how I shave my foof. And I feel like it's like good information to spread around to anyone else that has a vagina, because shaving is the pits. Like, so basically I think I started shaving when I was like 15, and I just want to make it clear that obviously I don't think that anyone should shave, but I do also want to make it clear that I do shave because I feel like I have to, and I don't want any of you guys to listen to this and feel like you have to shave too, because you really don't. I am literally just like trapped in like the, you know, misogynistic, ageist beauty standards that I feel like, I definitely don't feel like I have to shave. Lem doesn't make me feel like I have to shave, by the way, at all. But I would love to one day feel confident enough to go full bush. Like, at the moment, I do actually, so let me tell you guys my shaving routine. So I, obviously depending on what I'm doing, but I tend to shave only every 3 weeks, as in my vagina. I shave my legs. I try to shave them once a week. And again, I would not shave them if I didn't feel like I have to, but like, it's just like, you know, misogynistic beauty standards. Yeah. But yeah, I shave my, so I do actually like my bush be bushing, but I, there's, it comes a point where it gets a little bit too long for my liking. And then I just go like, let's make it bold. Like, do you know what I mean? But yeah, no. So how do I shave? So I actually, one thing I do actually recommend as an ex-beautician is to wax over shaving. I would wax if it didn't, if it wasn't like, it's not super expensive, but I just can't be bothered for the pain. Like, I cannot be bothered for the pain. But one thing is that I used to wax myself, and I absolutely loved it. My hair grew back really thin. It would be like clean, like waxed for like a week. It was great. No razor burn, nothing. I always recommend waxing over everything. But how do I shave? So I tend to, so first of all, obviously I only shave every 3 weeks. So bitch, my pubes are long. My pubes are long. So when I get in the shower, I do not trim my pubes before. I actually trim my pubes whilst I'm, God forbid that anyone that knows me or like is related to me is listening to this. I trim my pubes in the shower. This is a hack, because basically when you're in the shower and your pubes get wet, especially if they're long and you need to trim them, the hair tends to bunch together. So when it's dry, I find that my pubes are quite fluffy. So it can be quite difficult to trim because they're like fluffed up like a little poodle. But when it's wet, it tends to all sort of, I can bunch it up into sort of like 3 or 4 little cones. Sorry if this is too much information, but you knew what you guys were getting yourselves into when you clicked on this. So I tend to sort of put it into 4 different cones, and then I get like little nail scissors and I go, and then afterwards I then sort of like, I guess like go against the hair, brush my pubes back, and then just go over with the scissors again. That's just going to make the shaving a little bit easier. And then basically I sit on the floor of my shower, legs spread, and I just go to town with the razor. I don't particularly have like any rules of shaving against the grain, towards the grain, because I don't get ingrown hairs. I'm very, very lucky with that. But if you are someone that gets ingrown hairs, buy exfoliate the area regularly. But not too much though, because that's going to be too sore. But yeah, no. And then my ass, what I do, I mean, I feel like everyone has a different way of shaving their butt. Also, what I do use to shave is I use a creamy body wash. So, and again, it sort of depends sort of what state my vagina's in. I find that if my vagina's a bit too sensitive, as in like, I will use some body wash and like, just on like a random day, on my vagina, and it will start like burning, but then sometimes it's like fine. So it really depends what sort of day you catch my vagina on. But I find like a nice creamy body wash that like lathers up well is good. But also when my vagina is a bit too sore, I used to use baby shampoo, or if my vagina is too sore to put body wash near it, I just don't shave it. I just save it for another day. But yeah, when it comes to the butt, what I do is, and perhaps this is dangerous, but I basically squat in the shower. So like, I don't squat like an exercise squat. I squat like a, so like my bum is nearly on the ground, if you know what I mean. And then I just get the razor, and I make sure it's not a razor that's too sharp. Like, I make sure it's like a razor that's been, you know, it's gone through the ringer, so it's not too sharp and it's not going to cut me. And basically I just sort of like feel around and shave, and then I just touch the area to see if the hair's gone. I am not that bothered. I mean, I don't shave my butt that often, because truly I am not that bothered about Lem seeing a bit of hair on my asshole. Like, not being funny, I to be fair, I don't suck his balls, but do you know what I mean? I give him blowjobs and he does not do a single bit of manscaping down there. So I think he can deal with the fact that I get a little bit of hair on my butt. And that's okay. So on something a little bit different, what do you do when you get into an overthinking spiral? We're moving on from vagina shaving to anxiety. So There's something that I've learned in therapy, but something which really, really helps me is going out and doing something. And I also have a bunch of written things in my phone to sort of help me whenever I'm overthinking and like with my OCD and stuff. So I'll read some of them out to you. So, recovery is not a linear process. I will not become better out of shame. I will become better out of love. I love that one. The more you think about a problem, the bigger it gets. You will be, the human brain is so powerful that you will think that something is the biggest issue in the world. And obviously things can be big issues, but I find that when you think about a problem, that is what makes it worse. Like that is what makes a problem worse is when you think about it, because you are catastrophizing. Also, you will get through this. Everything is temporary. Externalize your emotions. Don't trap yourself in your own head. And my favorite one, everyone is the main character in their own lives. No one is thinking about you. And being anxious doesn't help nor change the situation. So things like that, there's this thing which people with anxiety suffer from, which is called spotlighting, which is basically when you think that everyone around you is thinking about you. But guys, how regularly do you think about the other people in your lives that aren't close to you? Not that often. So that's sort of something which really helps me, is thinking about the fact that everyone else is the main character in their own lives. Not that many people are thinking about you. You know, it's one of those things where it's like you can feel sad about the fact that no one cares, or you can feel actually really invigorated and empowered by the fact that no one cares. And that's how I sort of choose to see it. And also, yeah, going out and doing something, whether it's a run, whether it's a walk, read a book, just get yourself. One thing I find is getting yourself out of your environment. Even if you try to read a book, if you're like, let's say you're spiraling in your bedroom, whipping out a book isn't suddenly going to fix the anxiety. But going out, going on a walk, listening to a podcast, and then getting out a book does help, I promise. Do you wash your legs in the shower? Or do you let the soap trickle down? Now, I remember when this was a heated debate on Twitter. And guys, I wash my legs. And you know why? Because I have a confession to make. I shower sitting down. Yep, I know. So basically, I have like one of those bathtub showers. And to get to every nook and cranny, I like to sort of sit down. First of all, I'm lazy. Like, let's keep it real. Like, first of all, I'm fucking lazy. And I like to get to every single nook and cranny possible. Obviously, when I shave my butt, not shave my butt, when I wash my butt, I, like, get up. But, like, you know, to get to all the areas, I sit down and then I scrub everything. Yeah. I love showering sitting down. First sex toy you bought. I bought my first sex toy in lockdown number 3 because I was ravenously horny. I think I'd never felt horniness like it during that third lockdown. So I decided to buy myself a sex toy, and I actually bought it off Amazon, and it was before I realized that Amazon had a sex toy section. Because basically I didn't want to order it from a sex toy website because I was worried about, I know it doesn't say Love Honey on the packaging, but like, what if my mom has ordered something from Love Honey before and recognizes the Love Honey box even if there's not a logo on it? So I was like, okay, I have to make it discreet. Let's order it off Amazon. And it was marked as like a massager. It was similar to a rabbit. It was all right. Like, it was okay. I'm not huge on using sex toys for masturbation. I prefer going manual and using my hands. Like, why do you always say you're ugly? I think that's actually a pretty good question, actually. I feel like I do it a lot less now. I don't know. I think just coming into my mid-20s, I'm a lot more secure in myself. I used to call myself ugly a lot because that was how I felt. It was literally how I felt. I think basically sort of growing up, I was called ugly literally all the fucking time. It was the go-to insult for any single person was to like call me fucking ugly. And then basically I sort of prettied up between the age of like 20 to 22, 23. And then I had like this massive self-esteem crisis when I was 23, like massive self-esteem crisis. And I literally thought I was like the ugliest person ever. And it makes me really sad because I look back on the pictures where I thought that I was really ugly and like I felt like I couldn't even look in the mirror, and it literally makes me so sad because I was so pretty and I was so beautiful, and it's just fucking depressing, man. So I think that's something which is how I was like, I just think like I'm gonna look back on pictures of myself at this time and think that, wow, I was so pretty, like what is wrong with me, you know? And I think I was also trying to I was trying to find like a new makeup style, and I felt like this like natural makeup stuff didn't suit me, and that made me feel really sad. But also I just another thing that stops me from calling myself ugly now, I mean at least I feel like I don't anyway, is that I feel like I have like a level of responsibility now with like my channel and stuff. I don't want anyone who watches my videos to ever see me calling myself ugly and think it's acceptable to talk about yourself like that, because it's fucking not. And I feel this level of responsibility because I know there are a lot of girls who are teenagers who watch me and possibly look up to me, even though I really don't recommend that, guys. But yeah, no, I think something which really does help as well and puts it into perspective is that I would never talk about someone else the way that I talk about myself, or the way that I used to talk about myself. I would never, ever talk about someone else like that. So why should I talk about myself like that? Why am I so horrible to myself? And these are things which have really helped, and I hope these help you too. Have you ever thought of moving out of London or moving out of the UK? I would definitely not move out of London to somewhere else in the UK. But me and Lem have talked a lot about moving countries. The two countries where me and Lem would move to would either be Lisbon in Portugal, or we would move to Australia. Just because this country is not viable to live in. But obviously the problem is that, you know, with Portugal, obviously I'd love to learn a different language. I'd love to learn Portuguese, but for Lem to get a job out there, it would actually be really difficult for Lem. Like it would be pretty easy for me to get a visa out there, because it is they have like a digital nomad visa, but they don't have any, I mean they do have visas for workers, but you know, you have to be fluent in Portuguese and stuff, and obviously that's going to be like really difficult to do. So that would be like a very long process. And I don't think Lem is too keen on moving to Portugal either. And thought about Australia, which is so far away, but also apparently like the pay is better there, the standard of living is better there. But also I have heard that, and not saying that the UK isn't a racist country, the UK is a racist country, obviously we all know this, but I have heard that Australia is quite racist, and like I don't want to have to, I'm sure Lem doesn't want to go through that, and I don't want Lem to go through that either. And we're really lucky where we live in London, which is one of the most multicultural cities in the world, and we're really happy here. We have grown up around and in London. We have all of our family is in and around London. Our friends are in London and around London. Like it's a shame that we just don't, the thing is that we don't want to move. But I'm sure because literally it's only gotten worse. This country has only gotten worse for the past 10 years. I wonder why. And yeah, no, it's like, it's a shame because we don't want to move. But I think, like, unfortunately, if it does get worse, push is going to have to come to shove, and we're just going to have to leave. And if we were to leave, we would move countries entirely. We wouldn't stay in this country, because I do not want to live anywhere else in the UK apart from London, because obviously this is where all my friends and my family are. So yeah, favorite sex position. I feel like I like different sex positions for different things. So like, if I want to come, cowgirl, obviously. If I want to get like intimate and also I'm feeling a little bit lazy, missionary. And if I want my partner to touch me a lot, missionary. But then also if I'm feeling a little bit spicy, you know, doggy. If I'm feeling a little bit rough, oh, that gave me the ick. But one position that I'm not huge on is reverse cowgirl. Boring. Yawn. I also like collapsed doggy as well. Collapsed doggy is really good. But yeah, those are my favorite sex positions, guys. I also like 69ing. I haven't done 69ing in a really, really long time. What are my icks? So I feel like the culture. I feel like Twitter culture has turned against icks recently. A lot of people think that icks are like boring and whatever, but I still think icks are fun. And one of my very, very niche icks is like the thought of my partner being a pilot and trying to land the plane and then having to like lift off and then circle back and land it again. Chasing a ping pong ball, that's a classic one. But one which is actually like an actual real like dating no for me is when they are badly dressed. And I'm not talking about like they have to be super stylish and whatever, because Lem, he's not unstylish, but he's a jeans and a t-shirt guy. He is jeans and a t-shirt guy. He owns one pair of jeans, do you know what I mean? But that's fine to me because it gives me more time to shine. But one thing is that I can't handle is like actual, like, in my opinion, badly dressed people. So I'm talking like Alexander McQueen's, those ribbed skinny jeans, D squared stuff, trap star, nor. And just before we finish with the juicy Q&A, I would love to thank Kitsch for once again sponsoring the podcast. Woo, 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 woo. So we all know Kitsch. I've spoken about them so much on the podcast, but they recently sent me, recently, for the past 2 months, so I've really been like getting my work into it, getting my use out of it. They sent me a couple of silk pillowcases, which have been absolutely incredible for my hair. So basically with silk, it's just a lot more gentle and softer on your hair than cotton. Cotton tends to sort of frizz your hair up a little bit, tends to mat it a little bit. I wake up every morning, and guys, I know this sounds like a lie, but it's actually not. I wake up every morning and I do brush my hair, but my hair looks brushed. Like, that's how much of a difference sleeping with a silk pillowcase has made. So Kitsch believes that everyone deserves to treat themselves at an affordable price. They are a female founded business that got their start in 2010 selling hair ties door to door, and now they are carried in over 20,000 locations, and they have just created some game-changing beauty essentials in general. Some of their best sellers include their vegan and cruelty-free satin pillowcases, which is what I have, and honestly I have noticed the biggest difference in my hair. I only wash my hair now because I wash my hair sort of once a week, because I find that it just makes such a difference sleeping with a satin pillowcase. Like, my hair doesn't frizz up, I don't feel the need to re-straighten it, I don't feel the need to wash it and re-blow dry it. And they also have vegan and cruelty free caps and eye masks, their rice shampoo bars, their rosemary scalp oil, and their heatless satin curlers. These are the ones from TikTok, guys. Say bye bye to heat damage. These are the original, the OG, and still the best heatless curlers. Don't settle for knockoffs, get the ones that started the craze. Right now, Kitsch is offering you 30% off your entire order at mykitsch.com/Jordan. That's right, 30% off anything and everything. If I was to recommend anything, I would absolutely recommend these silk pillowcases. And they're very cheap for silk pillowcases too. MyKitsch, spelt MYKITSCH.com/Jordan. One more time, mykitsch.com/Jordan for 30% off your order. Thank you again, Kitsch, for sponsoring this portion of the podcast episode. Back to it. What's the most physically painful experience you've ever had or felt? This is so interesting. And you know what's so, again, interesting about this? I can't really remember. And that must be like how the human brain works, of like, you do not remember the most physically painful thing you've ever experienced. One thing I feel like is like, I guess it was painful, but it was more like painful because I was ill, was when I had a kidney infection. That's like the most ill I've ever been in my life. That was when I felt the most physically bad, but I wouldn't necessarily describe it as pain. Could you talk more about difficult father relationships? I feel like this is a tricky one, but I feel like maybe I'll do an entire podcast episode on it another time. But I do feel like something which does help is, and again, this is again something that comes with age, not to sound like really patronizing, but it is something that comes with age, is I feel like I just don't have any expectations when it comes to the relationship with my dad. You know, obviously this is with peace and love. I literally saw him yesterday. But I don't have any expectations with our relationship anymore, and because of that I feel very at peace with our relationship. I was talking about it with my therapist the other day, and he said that that's probably a defense mechanism, which it probably is, like, let's be honest, because if I did care then I'd be, you know, really sad all the time. But the thing is that it's sort of, obviously not to fucking out, you know, all my family tea, but, you know, it's sort of, we've gone through the same, you know, circle of arguments every single time. And I just know that it's not going to change. So I just need to be at peace with the relationship and not expect, you know, I'm never going to get what I truly want out of it. But also that is okay. Do you know what I mean? And I think that is something which has really, really helped me. And I hope that helps you guys too. How do you know when you're ready to get a cat? Great question. I feel like obviously the like deciding factor is like so desperately wanting one. I, like 6 months before I got Boots, I was like yearning for a cat. Like I could not wait. But also something which is important to consider is like, I feel like cats get this rap of being low maintenance animals. And don't get me wrong, they totally are, especially compared to other animals like dogs. Cats are very, very low maintenance. They can literally be left for like an entire day by themselves and they are fine, you know? But also you have to prepare yourself for the situation where your cat could end up being high maintenance. So like, for example, when Boots broke her back leg, she all of a sudden went from being the lowest maintenance animal to a very high maintenance animal. She was on cage rest for, I think it came up to about 8 weeks in total, her cage rest. And during her cage rest, we would have to wake up multiple times in the night to let her go to the toilet. We would have to give her medicine multiple times throughout the day. We'd have to give her sedatives. And neither of us would be able to leave the house at the same time for more than a couple of hours. So all of a sudden, Boots went from being a low maintenance animal to a high maintenance animal. And luckily, I had the time. I worked from home. So it was all cool. But that's just something that you sort of have to consider when getting a pet. And also, this sounds really stupid because I'm sure like you agree, but like make sure you're actually getting the pet out of love. I feel like some people, not all people, but just some people, buy cats for the purpose of breeding, like buy expensive cats for the purpose of breeding. And I don't think that that's a right reason to get a cat, because I feel like cats that are literally bought for the sole purpose of profit aren't in a home of love. And then a lot of the time they end up being naughty cats and sort of acting out a little bit, whether they spray a lot, whether they claw up the curtains, you know, whether they fucking shit everywhere, I don't know, piss everywhere. But they end up being naughty cats because they aren't satisfied in their lives and they are not in a house of love. So the last question, and it's been a bit of a shorter episode today, guys, but I had a lot of fun anyway. The last question, what does Lem think about you having a boy best friend? So he definitely doesn't mind at all. Him and Jake are actually really good friends. They message each other quite a lot. I definitely think just like an important thing is like telling your partner if you do have a best friend, like a boy best friend or something, is letting them know that, like, just letting them know that the boundaries that you have. And me and Jake have very clear cut boundaries with each other. Like we don't ever cross those boundaries or anything. And also having them make your boyfriend be friends with your boy best friend, and then they will never have a problem with them. So yes, this is podcast episode done. I know it was a little bit of a shorter one, but there's nothing going on knocking about in this little brain of mine. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you did, give it a bit of love on whatever platform you're watching it on. And I'll see you guys soon for another episode. Bye.